alone are my refuge, my place of safety. You are my God and my King, in you will I trust. I will sing your praise.
Hallelujah. that God is worthy. Can we just give him a round of applause this morning?
You're my king.
Hail Jesus, you're my king.
I-
wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
Glory, glory.
This is my favorite part.
The Lamb.
You will take me into the Lamb.
You will take me into the Lamb.
I will conquer in your name.
I will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
I will conquer in your name.
I will conquer in your name.
Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
I will conquer in your name.
I will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
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 Hail, hail the Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail the Lion of Judah.
Power has the grace, has the strength to bring it back to life. Bible says, can these dry bones live again? And Elijah said, oh God, you know. We're not praying for all of them to come back to life, but the ones that need to be standing, the resurrection power can bring them back.
Amen.
I just want us to worship this great God if you believe in him. Worship this great God if you know what he has done for you. Somebody lost a family member this morning. It's not to make mockery of the situation, but let's just thank God that we're standing on March 1st, 2015. I woke up this morning, I said, God, I thank you. Opens heaven, said a small new beginning. This is a new beginning for somebody. Just say, Father God, I extol your majesty that I'm standing on March 1st. Ladies and gentlemen, people died yesterday. People died day before yesterday. And I do not deserve to be alive, but this God has been faithful. I've made mistakes that have caused me to maybe fall back, but God said no. Just worship this great God. Just say, Father God, I extol your majesty. I extol you, oh God. We worship you, oh God. The song says our hearts cry. Hey, Ravados Kalabraka Santa Yi Baba.
Oh, our hearts cry. Be magnified in this your holy temple, in this your holy place, and we will rise to Zion's height to praise and glorify, unify. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we praise you. Oh, how we worship. Oh, Lord. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we praise you. Oh, how we worship.
Oh, how we love. no man cast down. And you will do what no man can do. Say, I have no
other God.
It's a simple song. It's a very simple song. I have no other God.
Praise God. You know, so we're going to start a sermon series today that will run us into Easter. It's going to be a four-part series. Today we'll be talking about the love of God. And next week we'll talk about the nature of man. And the Sunday following we'll talk about Jesus is the answer. And the fourth Sunday, the last part of this series, we'll be talking about Jesus is Lord. Amen. And on Easter Sunday, by the grace of God, we'll be talking about the resurrection power of God. Friends, I want to encourage you. You don't want to miss any of this series, because unlike standalone series, this is going to flow into each other. And I know it will be a blessing to you in the name of Jesus. So today we start with the part one, the love of God for you and I. Friends, in life, at one time or another, you may have felt, or maybe you are in that situation right now, that you feel like nobody cares. No, nobody really loves me. Nothing is working out. The people I have shown so much love have shown me hate in return. Some of us have become weary and leery, you know, when it comes to the issue of love. You know, you can't even accept love because you question the compassion that people show. Because over the years, we have been disappointed. People that you have trusted, people that you have loved, people that you have made yourself vulnerable to them, they have disappointed you. And that is common to all of us. Anybody that says that has not happened to them, okay, all I have to say is just keep on living. It's going to happen at one time or another. There will be disappointments in life. And you know, it hurts the most when it's people you really care about. You know, I'll be very worried if I see you getting angry over somebody on the street that you don't know them, you know nothing about them, they know nothing about you, and for some reason they begin to curse at you, and then you are getting angry. It will really surprise me, because what makes it painful is the fact that I love this person and I have entrusted myself into the hands of this person. Praise the Lord. But people on the street, if they treat you anyhow, you just, when you get home, you're telling your friends, I met a crazy guy today. And you're laughing about it. Praise the Lord. But when it's close home, you don't laugh about it. Why? Because it hurts to the marrow. But I want you to know today that the love of God for you is a guaranteed love. It's an unfailing, unending, undying love. Amen. He loved us even when we didn't deserve any love from him. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he came and he died for us. Amen. So today, as we dig into this, I want you to know that there's something very, very special about the love of God. And if you have not felt it or appreciated it before, I pray that by the end of this service today, you will appreciate and feel the love of God. In the name of Jesus. And I'd like to start by saying that the love of God for us is a given. And number one, the love of God is displayed and made manifest in his creation. Amen. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, and the very first verse, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. So when there was nothing else, there was God. Amen. So when there is nothing else now, I want you to know that there is God. Amen. In the midst of nothing, in the midst of everything not working out, in the midst of you struggling, in the midst of you wondering, in the midst of all of that, the emptiness of life, there is who? There is God. There is God. It said, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And it goes on to say that there was gross darkness. And the first thing God did without anybody asking him was, let there be light. Let there be light. When you look at the story of creation, the story of creation is a story of the love of God to us. Amen. Because God saw the utter darkness and he said, this darkness is not good. And without anybody asking, soliciting, he said what? Let there be light. I speak to everyone that may be groping in the dark. You are confused about any situation today, let there be light. Amen. I said, there shall be light. Amen. The Lord will illuminate your darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. And everything that is missing, have you noticed when you are looking for something in the dark, you know it's by your bedside and you're going like that. You're going like, you just can't place your hand on it. But the moment the light comes on, you'll be like, oh, it was right there. God will turn on the light for you. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And as the story of creation continues, the first thing he said, let there be light. And as soon as there was light, he said, let the waters be separated. Let the firmament be separated and the waters be separated. It means there was disorder and there was confusion. And in his love and compassion, he put things in order. Everything in disorder and in disarray in your life, the love of God will bring them to order. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. God moved and he separated the waters. The Good News Bible says he put water above the firmament above the space, and he put water under the space. And he went further in the process of creation. He said, let the land and the water be separated, the water under the space, the water under the firmament. So he created the land and he created the waters. He separated the waters from the land. Friends, can you imagine if God had created the world, you know, and created you and I and left us in that disorder, in utter darkness? Amen? With everything ipsy-topsy. But that is not the nature of God. That is not the nature of love. That is not the nature of the love of God in particular. Praise the Lord. He put things in order. He said, let there be light. He separated the land from the water so that there will be land for the terrestrial animals to walk upon. Amen? And then he said, let the earth bring forth herbs, fruit trees. Amen? Ever before you and I showed up on the scene, God provided for us. Everything that man will ever need, God created and put in place before the man showed up. He created the plants, and then he spoke to the water. He said, let the water be teeming with live animals. Let it be teeming with live animals. And it was so. He said, let there be birds. The birds started flying in the air. And then he created land animals. And after all of that, he created man. And listen to this. After he created man, he gave a specific instruction. He said, let everything be subject to man. Amen. He did all the work and gave you the bill of rights. He did all the hard work and gave me the bill of rights. Friends, the love of God is apparent in his creation. In Psalm 19 from verse 1, it says, and I read, and I'm reading from the New Translation Bible. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmaments his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. It says, just look around you, and all you will see is the display of the glory and the love of God for you. In fact, they said that Russian astronauts that went to space, when he got to space and came back, he said, I went to space and came back and I did not see God there. So somebody said to him, take off your space mask, your space suit. Immediately you will see God. Immediately. There will be no loss in time. As soon as you take off the mask, you die, you will see God. You will see God. I told you the billboard I saw somewhere in Mississippi or Alabama. It says, when you die, you will see God. Everybody that is not sure about the existence of God, when they die, they will see God. So still talking about the love story in the creation, listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, God created all of this. He created the man. And in Genesis chapter 2, something interesting happened. In verse 18 of chapter 2, the Bible says, chapter 2, at the end of chapter 1, the Bible says, after God was done creating, he looked at everything he had made. He said it was very good. Amen. He said it was very good. This is good. This is good, God said. And then by the 18th verse of the second chapter, the Bible says God said something was not good. He looked at man, he said, it is not good that this guy should be alone. So all those that are wondering whether marriage is between a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, they just need to go to the beginning. Because when God created man, he saw this man and said, no, it's not good for this man to be alone by himself. I will create for him a helpmeet that is suitable for him. Man did not ask for it. Man did not seek for it. Man did not intercede for it. God provided for him. Amen. Friends, I tell you the truth, and I love and I lie not. The love of God for us is a given. It's a given. It's a given. You know, one of the problems we have, as we see in chapter 3 of the same book of Genesis, is in the book of Genesis, something interesting happened. Not so much interesting, something bizarre, I should say, really. Because God created this vast garden and gave man authority over all of his creation. It means Adam had the title deed to the earth. He gave him everything and said, just this one exception. Don't touch this tree. Just one. Just one. You know, a lot of times we ignore the provisions of God and we focus on the prohibitions of God. We focus our minds on the do's and the don'ts, but we forget the vast provision that he has made for us. He said, why is it not okay for me to just live with my boyfriend? No, you cannot. You're not married. No, you can't. God has ordered these things to be done in a particular way. And when you follow the pattern of God, all things will work out together for your good. It's as simple as that. I praise the Lord. So in chapter 3, we see the devil in a serpent came to them and started having a conversation with them. Well, at least with Eve. Amen. Say, what did God really say? You know, one of the things that I've seen about life is anytime you are willing and ready to obey God, Satan will throw you a question. Do you really think? You think everybody is doing this? Not every. You don't know what people do behind closed doors. You don't know what people do. You don't know what people. Everybody is smiling. You think everybody is this? Friends, just follow God. Just obey him. His love for you is guaranteed. You know, it's not a question of whether or not he will accept you. The Bible says we are already accepted in the beloved. We are. That's the word of God. So in chapter 3, sin came and sin messed everything up. They ate from the only thing God said don't eat from. The vast provision God has made for them. If they were trying everything, they couldn't have tried everything. Because there was so much that God had given to them. The only exception to the rule that God had not given to them is the one that they had a problem with. And they ate, and problem came. You know, I found this out. Do you know when God created Eve in chapter 2, she was not given a name. He called her woman, you know, called her who she is, not a given name. It wasn't a given name. It was just a woman. That is her species. That's what it was. A woman. It was after the fall that God graciously allowed her to have a name. Do you know the meaning of Eve? Life giver. Breath. Even in their sin, God is still reconciling them back to himself. The plans and the purposes of God for our lives, his love for us is so strong that even when we veer off, he will arrange situations to bring us back on course. Even when we veer off, he will arrange situations to bring us back on course. And I know you have your stories to tell. I don't have time to tell you my stories today. I know some of you like to laugh at my stories. Maybe I should tell your story someday. But friends, the truth of the matter is, even in their fallen state, that was when Eve got a name. So her name is Eve, meaning what? Life giver. It means when I trip and I fall, God is going to throw me a lifeline. Why? Because he wants to restore me back unto himself. Ask yourself, of what use is you invested money in a business and things aren't going well? Is it in your interest that thing should die? that business should be destroyed? No. I had a lunch meeting with someone yesterday. He's here today, Victor. You know, and he said something very, very interesting. I told him, I said, you are already preaching my message. You will hear it again tomorrow. Amen? Listen to this. He said, after they sinned, why didn't God just wipe them off and start over again? It was easier. It was just the two of them. Say, okay, this is bad prototype. We don't want to follow with this sinful pattern. Let's just kill this one and start the process all over again. He could have. He's God. If he did so, would you ask him why? You may ask. You won't even know because you can you imagine how many years later we are showing up on the scene? Friends, God could have wiped that program and rewrite another program. But he saw you and I in the distant future. And he said, you are worth it. He said, I am worth it. He said, we can redeem this situation. We can make this work. And God took care of them. And when the process of taking care of that situation could not work, he gave his only begotten son. Friends, the love of God for us is apparent. It's apparent in the story of creation. In their dead state, in sin, what is sin? The dead that the scripture was talking about, that if they sin, they would die. He was talking about a separation from God. Were they separated? Absolutely, better believe it. They were separated. They were separated. That is why, you know, people say stuff like, oh, I'm a good person. You know, I give to the poor. I do this, I do that. It is not the things that you have done that really makes you a sinner. It's just the way you were born. Amen? You say, why do I need to repent? I'm a good person. one of the illustrations my friend shared with me yesterday, he said a man that is born and grows up to be 7 feet tall and is bragging, what role did he play in it? He's 7 feet tall. And he said, look at me, I'm very tall. I'm a very tall dude. What role did you play in you being 7 feet tall? Zero. You did not determine your parents. You did not determine where you will be born. You will not determine where you will be born. Amen. God by himself has wired all of these things into us, who we will be and who we will become. Friends, that should be good news to us, for us to be comfortable with who we are. Amen. Like you already know, I am very happy with this package. It's a good package. Seriously, come on now. Where are the paparazzis? This is a good package. Amen. We have to be happy. We have to be grateful. We have to be excited with who God has made us to be. Many people are unhappy today because they are comparing themselves with somebody else. They want what the other guy has, and that is just tearing them to pieces. You don't have it, you don't have it. Leave it alone. Amen? When I need people to sing, God has blessed me with wonderful daughters here. Once I start the song, amen? It's just, once if I start a song now, it's like I push the button. You just see them, they get up, they go there because they know he's going to kill this song. Let's bring life into it quickly. Matter of fact, before, what I used to do was I would start a song, and in the song, believe me honestly, I would sing like 3 songs in one. And I wouldn't know I'm changing song. As long as everything is rhyming and it's flowing, it's between me and God. Why are you laughing? We'll give you a microphone to sing now. Listen to this. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I read from verse 1. It says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Friends, this is talking about me. This is talking about you and the provision of God. He said, you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, somebody say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Friends, it's very important as we approach Easter that we don't approach Easter with the mindset of egg hunt and all of these things. What does Easter really mean? And I pray by the end of this series, we will all have a better grip of what the death and resurrection of Christ really means in our lives. Friends, God has done so much for us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. God is long-suffering. He's taking his time. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, many of us, it won't be long before you write people off. You say, that one, I've forgotten about that one. I don't want to deal with him or her anymore. You know, and this reminds me of the story of Peter. I'm sure we have read this story before. In John chapter 21, when Jesus had resurrected, and he went to meet them. They were fishing, you know, by the lake. He went to meet them. They didn't catch anything again. The first time he met them, they were fishing. They caught nothing. The second time they caught nothing again. But listen to this. Jesus prepared a meal for them and fed them. And as they were eating, Jesus asked a poignant question and posed it to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me more than this? Oh, Peter said, oh, yeah, I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay? He said, feed the lamb. Feed the lamb. Or feed my sheep. And then the first time, he said, feed my lambs. The second time he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. And then he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? He said, well, this is going somewhere. I don't think I get it. He said, Lord, you know. Just tell me what's your angle on this. praise the Lord. But you see, the word love in the Bible, because the Greek language is a very rich language, and the English language not as rich. No offense meant. You know, when you see a play of love, love, word like that, you need to understand what is going on here. Jesus was asking Peter, he says, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me above all else? Do you love me to the death? Peter, do you love me like this? Peter said, I care about you. I'm compassionate towards you. You know, because it would not make sense. Why would Jesus ask him three times? So the first time he said, do you agape me? I feel you, man. I feel you. I like you. Yeah, you're my dude. You know, we hung out together. I like you. I like you. So he asked him again. He said exactly the same thing. You know why? You may not understand this, but Peter had denied Jesus three times. You remember that? Jesus told him, he said, Peter, you would, he said, master, you, he said, even if it's to go to prison or to die, I will die with you. Jesus told him, he said, that's a nice thing you have said, but today you will deny me three times. And this same thing that Jesus said had just come to pass. So Peter was not too enthused. You know, we can listen to the story of Peter, like I've said it now, and you'll be like, why can't he say, I agape you back? He was cautious because he was exuberant before and he failed. He was exuberant. He was excited about this Jesus. I will die for you. I will go to prison for you. But then he failed. Haven't we failed? Many times. That you have made commitments to the Lord and you did not come through on the commitment that you made. You have made commitments in church and you did not come through with the commitments that you made. So when we look at the story of Peter, please put yourself in his position. He was excited. He said, "No, I will die for you." Jesus said, "No, you won't. In fact, you're going to deny me." And what Jesus said had just come to pass. So when Jesus comes around and is asking him, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me to the death?" Peter said, "I will tell you what my faith can carry. I appreciate you a great deal. I like you. You're my dude. I like you. You know, but death, I'm not sure." But you see, the love of God for us is not a judgmental kind of love. Judgmental in the sense that looks down on us. He knows our frame. That's what the psalmist said. He knows that we are flesh. He knows. He knows. And that is why he's long-suffering. He endures long for us. But he longs for you to come to him. His arms are wide open to you to come to him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 20, it said, "Where sin abound," it said, "grace did much more abound." But then it jumped to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, and it says, "Shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound?" Amen. He's teaching us a lesson here. He's saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you, but I don't want you to continue to live a sinful life." Amen. Will my daughter, because she knows dad loves me. She knows that. Are you in doubt? You can be truthful. I just take back your spike shoes. Say that I just got you. If you just kidding. She knows I love her. She knows I love her. And because she knows I love her, she knows when she does something wrong and she apologizes, daddy will forgive. Yes? Yes? Let's use it as a case study. Stand up. She knows daddy will forgive her. You know that, yeah? Let me ask you this. Because she knows dad will always forgive her, is that a reason for her to continue to live in sin?
No.
Please sit down. Children of God, the love of God for us is guaranteed. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, Jeremiah 31 verse 3, it says, "The love he has for us is an everlasting kind of love. But sin will sink us. Unrighteousness will sink us. Disobedience will sink us. The love that God has for us is an undying love. Is an unending love. He loves us. Even when we were sinners, he came and died. So it's not because we were righteous that he came. He came for a package that nobody will buy for a dime. But because of his death, he has put great value on us. Will you deny him or betray him? Or would you surrender to him in this love?" Please rise to your feet. "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me.
I don't know if you're here this morning. You have had some not so pleasant experience. It could be in a marriage relationship. It could be in a friendship. It could be with a parent. It could be with a pastor. It could be with anybody that you have been greatly hurt. I want you to lay it at the feet of Jesus today. Amen? Because it is robbing you of the love of God for you. It is denying you access that you ought to have to appreciate the great love that God has for you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, just talk to the Lord for a minute or two. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. If there's any bitterness, let go of it. Let go of it. The arms of Jehovah are wide open always. He wants to receive you unto himself. His arms are wide open. Wide open. He loves you very dearly. He did not ask us to come to him. He came to us. And he gave his life. He died that we may live. He became poor that we might be rich. Say, come into my heart, O Lord. Come into my heart. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Jehovah will give you praise. Mighty God, peradventure there is one or two people under the sound of my voice today or that will be hearing this message over the internet that are totally broken, hurt, bitter because of past experiences. Father, I pray, O Lord, that you will soothe every pain. Lord, you will heal every hurt in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified and be thou exalted forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord.